We'd like to greet everyone this morning in Jesus' precious name. God has been very good. I'd like to ask you this question. How many had answered prayers this week? Amen. I first of all like to thank you for your prayers. I don't know, some people think it's easy to get up here, and I don't. it's easier to sit in a chair, but I've been praying that God would bring something that will be beneficial for all of us, to bring us to a closer walk with God. And I guess I'm showing my age, because this week was like a blur. I mean, it just choom, went through, and I don't know where it went. And here we are at Sunday again, and here we are on the first day of December, which is the last month of 2024. I mean, I still remember sitting down with a couple when they were having a struggle of 2000, Y2K. You know, they were freaking out over Y2K. And I'm like, you know, we're 24 years past that now. And I'm not sure, maybe some of you don't even know what Y2K was. I mean, that's when everybody was freaking out that when the come into the new 2000, that everything's going to go berserk and computers are going to go wild and, you know, we're going to lose everything. And it didn't happen. Because I remember sitting with this couple who were Christians, and they were just stressed out. And I said, where's God in this picture? Where's God in your life? And the fact is, God has not changed. He is still here today. He still loves you. He still cares for you. He still has an interest in you in 2024. And I mean, I know we went through this election thing that was also freaking people out, but we need to trust in God. We need to have our love and our confidence and our devotion to God. Anyway, how many remember what the message or the title was in November the 17th? Of this past year. I mean, that's just a couple Sundays ago. I'll give you a hint. Joseph shared the message. Do you know what the title was? Right, forgiveness. Okay, now next question is, anybody know what this, everybody see this word before? Did you ever see, that's one word. 24 letters. Did you ever see it before? My nephew, who is a bishop, had this message, and he talked about that. And Joseph's message is what made me think of this. And if I understand right, they were trying to reach, the Christians were trying to reach into Alaska, into the Eskimos, and trying to get them to understand truth. And they did not have a word for forgiveness. And so this is the word they came up with, the Eskimo. And go on Google if you want to hear what, I'm not going to say it. I don't know how to say it. It's a tongue twister the whole way through. But anyway, this word means not being able to think about it anymore. That's what that word means. You might want to copy it down, because I had to. But what I'm driving at is, regardless where we are in the world, we all have to understand what forgiveness is. And that's not my message for today. I'm not going to be intruding on Joseph's message, but I do think that we have a lot to learn in regards to forgiveness. I was in the subject, in the message, it's going to come out. That word's going to come out. But I would like if we would all bow our heads right now. I'm going to pray. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We come before you with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for everyone that's here. We pray especially, Father, that you might bless this message. We pray most of all that your Spirit would move among us and touch each individual in a special way, so that as your word is brought forth, that we would have a better understanding of your will for our lives. We thank you again for the love you've shown to us and the example of that you've shown to us through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that as we go through life, that we might reflect Christ in such a way that the world would have a burning desire to know you better. We now pray that you might just bless my tongue and bless your word. And we ask that if there's any evil in this room, that you might cast it out. And we ask you might just fill us with your Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. How many here like to be accepted? How many don't like to be accepted? I mean, there are some people like that, yeah. But, so that's good. And we should all have that desire. And the question is why? And I came across this statement which I thought was good. And that is, in summary, acceptance is it's fundamental to leading a fulfilled life. It's also enhances our mental health. It also strengthens relationships. It fosters personal growth and promotes emotional well-being. That's what acceptance is. So it's a good thing. Now, my next question is, who are we trying to find acceptance with? Who are we trying to find acceptance with? You would say, is it your peer group? When I was growing up as a teenager, we had some good and bad apples in our group. And the thing I observed, usually the bad apples were the ones that always were talking and bragging and boasting about whatever, tractor, dad, job, whatever. And if you wanted to impress them, you had to do something better than they did. And that, I'll be very blunt with you, it goes nowhere. It's a waste of your time. But to find that acceptance, that's what you had to do. And as you mature, the question is, do you want to try and find acceptance with business people? Do you want to find acceptance with, a sewing group? Do you like to find acceptance with schoolmates or whatever? And there's some people that like to try and impress their neighbors. And that theory about catching up with the Joneses doesn't get you anywhere, and or competing. But the most important thing that I think we want to try and do, and that is we want to find acceptance with God. That is our heart. That is the most important thing. And this morning, I would like to look at the understanding of, to find this acceptance, there is another word that we use, and that is we find favor. And when I was doing the studying, I didn't realize this, but in the Old Testament, the word favor, it comes out once in a while, but there's another word that carries the same meaning, and that is grace. And I realize when you look at grace, it's actually a undeserved favor. And I'm not going to turn to all of this, all these, but I just want to give you a little bit of an idea. In Genesis 6:8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah found favor with God. And so he was able to be saved because he had favor with God from the flood. In Exodus 33:17, Moses found favor with God. In Genesis 18:3, Abraham found favor. Three men came, and Abraham said, "If I have found favor in your sight, can you tarry longer?" And they did. He was in favor with God. And in Acts 7:45 and 46, it talks about King David found favor with God. And in Job, Job was a perfect and upright man. In that chapter, it doesn't say anywhere about favor. It doesn't say anything about grace. But it says he loved God. He was perfect. He was upright. And he eschewed evil. And God brought that to the devil and said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" So he found favor with God, even though it doesn't say that. But he was accepted. He had a favor with God. In Luke 1:3, I don't have it memorized, but the idea, it's in regards to Mary. The angel came to Mary, and it says here, "Then the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." So she lived a life that was acceptable and was in favor with God. Then the last but not least is in Luke 2. This is in regards to our Lord and Savior. I'd like to read a couple of verses here. Luke 2, and in verse 40 it says, "And the child grew," this is speaking of Jesus, "and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him," or the favor of God was upon him. And then we go down to verse 49, and this is after, they were trying to find Jesus. He wasn't with the crowd. Anyway, "And Jesus said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And we like to look at the word favor then sometime, but I would like you to think about, what does the Bible say in Proverbs 8 about being found favor? Here in Proverbs 8, I'd like to begin reading at verse 32. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children of, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." I was just wanting to remind us of something. And that is, I'll go over here. We know that God is everything. And we have this relationship, which is both ways, okay? And we talk about an idol. An idol is anything that becomes between us and God. And It could be food. It could be a game you play. It could be your work. It could be a person. But usually the biggest thing is, it's usually us. In other words, it's usually me. Because we call it sin. Sin will separate us from God, and that's what an idol does. An idol separates us from God. And I haven't used this for a little while, but sin is something that's selfish, indifference, and negative. that's what sin is, and it's all about me. And that's going to separate us from God. But here, you're not going to find favor with God if you have sin in your life. But here, it says if we listen, if we obey, if we make God's word a part of our life, if we are a learner, we have a desire to accept God's truth. And it also, in this portion of Scripture, it talks about it's a daily walk. It's not something that's once and done. You know, hey, you accepted Jesus Christ, you're good. You know, it doesn't work that way. Because it's a daily relationship that we need to have with God. Because the devil is busy trying to capture us in one way, any time he can, day or night. And we need to make sure that we are connected with God, so real, so good, that, you know, the devil cannot get to us. This past week, I was reminded of the thought that, you know, we have, I think Daryl had a message one time about, you know, our armor. And this past week, I realized we have the helmet of salvation. And it struck me that, you know, this helmet of salvation, why is it here? Because the devil works through the mind. And we need to make sure that our salvation is solid and sure, because we do not want the devil to get into our mind and start distorting, you know, evil thoughts, wrong thoughts, whatever. So we need to make sure that our relationship with God is solid. All right, Proverbs 3. I'd like to read a few verses there. This is actually my favorite portion of Scripture, one of them. It says, Proverbs 3, beginning of verse 1, says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." The thing that I realize, it should be health to thy navel. Most of us understand what, you know, a newborn is. And before a child is born, the life is from the navel to through the mother. And technically, we need to make sure that our life connection to God is there, because we're going to find our life in Christ, in God. It's so very, very critical. That's why I thought it was interesting they used that as an illustration, because that's where our life comes from. The other portion is Psalms 147:11, and that says, "God favors those who fear him." And I like to use this, the illustration that we're all in the school of life. And when I was in grade school, we always strove to become A students, A plus or A plus plus or whatever. And as you come into the school of life in Christ, we don't major in A's, we major in F's. Because the first thing you need to do is you need to have a fear of God. And if you have a fear of God, then that will increase or produce faith in God. And then that faith in God then should motivate us to follow God. And if we have those three things in our life, we're going to find favor with God. So may God help us as we have that fear, faith, and following of God. The thing that I would like you to understand, I'm not going to write this down, but I'm wanting you to think this word. How do we find favor with God and man? I would like you to remember this verse. to have favor with God. In Hebrews 11:6 it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. We must have faith in God if we're going to have favor with God. Now, if we have faith with God, how do we find favor with men? It goes back to this. We have to be forgiving. If we want to find favor with men, we have to be forgiving. You're not going to be able to build relationships or find success in life if you hold a grudge, if you're bitter, if you're angry, if you're upset with someone, because you're not going to find favor with men. We need to have that forgiveness in our hearts to be able to find favor with men. The A, with God, we need to be available. Now, there's when Isaiah, saw the temple, he said, here am I, send me. We have to be available with God. And with, I like to turn to Philippians 2 in regards to being favored with men. And by the way, that available with God was Isaiah 6:8. But I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. In other words, we have to be attentive to the needs of others, and that's going to find favor with men. We have to be unselfish, is what it amounts to. We cannot be selfish like over here. Selfish is a part of sin, and it will destroy your relationship with God and with your men, fellow men. We're going to V. And that is, with God, God wants us to be victorious. We have to be victorious if we want to find favor with God. And this might sound maybe a little bit of a stretch, but with God, with men, we need to be vibrant. And I'd like to read this portion of Scripture in Romans 8. Romans 8, beginning at verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemneth sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, with God, we need to be victorious. With men, we need to be vibrant. I mean, I'm trying to think how... It's always exciting to be around somebody who's enthusiastic. And this is... I'm going to shift gears just a little bit, but when I shake your hand, I like a good handshake. I don't like this fish. I mean, it just doesn't... It reminds you of something dead. And I like to have something that's alive. I want something that's real. And that's what we need to do to our fellow men, to find favor with men. And the only way you're going to find life is having the Holy Spirit in your life. And I appreciated, you know, Art's opening about the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we're dead. We're not going to go anywhere. And so we need to be alive in Christ. And that is what, when we are vibrant, then we can find favor with men because they see that we're alive. I mean, you don't want to talk and walk with a dead person. It just doesn't go anywhere. And that the only way you're going to find life is having this relationship with God, and you're going to find favor. All right, the O. If you're going to find favor with God and man, to find favor with God, you have to be obedient. Over and over throughout Scripture, Jesus said, you know, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you care for me, you're going to obey me. This through and through is just obedience is very, very prevalent. Now with men, how do you find favor with men? Be an open book. Just be honest. I have a higher respect for a person who's honest than a person who twists and tweaks and, you know, I don't trust people like that. You go nowhere. And if you're going to find favor, you have to be an open book. Be honest. And if they say, hey, you like that, and you don't, and you say yes, you just messed yourself up. Because in business life, I'll be careful how I say this, because it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back. I'm not. I don't want to come through that way. But there's people come to me, and they ask me, who do you recommend for this? Who would you get to fix this? Who would you get to do this? And I realized later, or as time, one person said, John, I appreciate your input because I know you're going to be honest. You're going to tell me who you trust and who you don't trust. And to me, that finds favor with men. And when you're not honest, you're digging yourself a hole, which is going to be really hard to get out of, because dishonest people are not to be trusted. And they destroy themselves, technically. So to find favor with God, we need to be obedient. To find favor with men, we need to be honest. And R. To be with favor with God, we need to repent. We need to repent of our sins. In Acts 2, verse 38, you know, they said, what should we do? And they said, you have to repent. Repent of your sins. And when we are repentant of our sins, we find favor with God. The fact is that I think sometimes the devil likes to trick us into thinking, well, you did this once, you don't need to do it again. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? But the fact is, we're human. We make mistakes. And we have to acknowledge that. And we have to say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. And we have to be repentant people, have that spirit, so that we can find favor with God. That's our heart. Now, for men, how do we find favor with men? And that is be respectful. It's very simple. Just be respectful. The golden rule, it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's just truth. And if you don't treat others the way you'd like to be treated, you're hurting yourself. So, coming back with God, we need to be faithful, available, victorious, obedient, and repentant. For men, we need to be forgiving, attentive to the needs of others. We need to be vibrant or alive. We need to be an open book or be honest. And I'd like to echo with that, being honest is be humble, because pride will get you nowhere. And then be respectful. My interest in everything is that we would have a life that is God-honoring, God-fearing, so that he would receive the glory. I'd like to turn in closing to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, thus saith the Lord, verse 1, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words. To find favor with God, we need be people who are humble, have a broken heart. We need to have godly sorrow that works repentance. And we also need to have the understanding that what God says is what we need to fear and obey and follow. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for thy word. We thank you for the truth that you have helped us see. We ask that if there's anything that we should change or get right, we ask that you might speak to us and do that. We thank you again that you have shown us grace. You have shown us favor. And we just pray that you might help us to reflect Christ so that we can have the favor of you and men, so that you would receive the honor and the glory. Now we pray that you might bless each one here as we go through life, that we might have the desire to find favor. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.